ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I've let you down. Inside I doubt that you still love me. But in your eyes there's only grace now.
Service this morning. I'm so blessed by that music and Bethany, thank you for that song. So powerful. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd like for you to be finding the book of Ephesians. I know you're kind of starting to think, is that all he does is preach out of Ephesians? And the answer is, I love Ephesians, so you know that's a good book to preach out of. But we've been in Ephesians for quite some time. You guys know that we just finished up a series of messages on the armor of God. I want to back up a little bit into Ephesians, the third chapter this morning, and just share some words with you today that God has laid on my heart. I have to be honest with you, I don't know exactly where this message could land us. I'm preaching a message this morning that I've kind of titled after the song that the choir opened with today, Indescribable God. Now, here's what you need to know about that. We serve and worship an indescribable God, right? So to me, this could be a series that could carry us a long time, just trying to describe an indescribable God, right? So there's a possibility there for that, leaving it kind of open for that. But this morning, kind of just a standalone message, just kind of one shot at this, to talk about this indescribable God that we have. And I just want to dig into that a little bit. Think about that statement just for a minute. The choir sang it a while ago. Just the title of that beautiful song written by Laura Story, great songwriter, Christian songwriter. The title of that song is just indescribable. And I don't know, one of the things Nancy emphasizes a lot to the choir when she's working with them, be sure your words are stated in such a way that people can hear the message of that song. And that song is so powerful in talking about God and this God that we worship and serve in this place today. What does it mean for God to be indescribable? What are we really talking about? I want to just give you a couple of truths this morning, some clarifying points. So like there's sub-points to the points. You get that, right? So some clarifying points about what we're saying and what we're not saying when we talk about an indescribable God. And so I'm going to give you about five of these things if you want to jot these things down. So you know what that means, right? Oh, he's going to give us 5 points right up the front. So that means the rest of the sermon is kind of in question, right? So you guys get that. So, but I think this is important for us to think about. When we talk about God being indescribable, maybe immediately in your mind a question mark comes up and goes, but we describe him all the time. We try to put him to words. We try to get our head around who he is. So what do we mean exactly when we talk about God being an indescribable God? Well, in that song, it's talking about the mystery of God, about how big our God is. And so I want to just give you these clarifying points, and I want you to think about these things, what we are saying and what we're not saying when we begin to talk about God as being indescribable. First of all, I think we need to understand this. Being indescribable doesn't mean that God is unknowable. Just jot that down. Being indescribable doesn't mean that God is unknowable. As a matter of fact, God has gone to great lengths because he loves you so much for you to know him. He wants us to know him. As a matter of fact, it overwhelms me. It's almost indescribable to me that God who created everything out of nothing by mere spoken word cares about piddly old me. I mean, think about that. So when we say that God is indescribable, we're not saying that he's unknowable. We're just saying he is sometimes so beyond our comprehension. So that's the first one. The second clarifying statement I want to make is this. Being indescribable reminds us, and I think this is important, being indescribable reminds us that we could not know God or comprehend him apart from him revealing himself to us. That's a huge statement, but I want you to get that. When we talk about him being indescribable, it's simply reminding us of how big and vast God is, and is reminding us that he is so big that if he didn't want to be known by us, he would not be known by us. That if he didn't take the time to reveal himself to us, we would not know him. And so, you know, when I was thinking about that second clarifying statement, I thought that in itself ought to cause us to worship him. I mean, just think about that. It ought to cause us to break out in worship just that this vast God that is beyond our comprehension has chosen to make himself comprehensible to us in some way because he loves us that much. That's huge. Here's the third clarifying statement. Think about this, and this is just groundwork. We're going to think about these things. Here's the third one. Much, if not most of who God is, remains shrouded in mystery to us. We can only comprehend those parts of him he chooses to reveal to us. Now think of that. I think about this all the time. I think, you know, so much of God is a mystery that the closer we get to him, and I'm going to talk about this one here in just a minute, but the closer we get to him, the more indescribable and incomprehensible he becomes. because he is so vast and so beyond what you and I can even imagine. And you go, well, why are we talking about it like that? Why are we thinking about it like that? Because listen, I think, and I really believe this, that in our churches today, by and far, in churches today, we have become way too casual in our reverence as we approach God. We have. I mean, we just approach God like we're going to a rock concert somewhere. When we're talking about a God that is shrouded in mystery, that is majestic and awesome, and I mean with one look from him, he could do away with all of this. He is a mystery. He is vast. And I'm going to tell you that if nothing else, in the simple little message I'm preaching today, and we'll see where this goes, but in the simple, it ought to cause us to go, you know what, I cannot wait to get into God's presence that he lets me come into and worship him for who he is. And how big he is. So kind of just think about that. Much, if not most of who God is, remains shrouded in mystery. When you think you figured God out, you ain't figured nothing out. Pardon my poor grammar there, right? But it's the truth. When you think that you have arrived to a point where you have all of a sudden begun to figure God out, I'm going to tell you, you haven't even begun to scratch the surface of who he really is and what he really is. And I think we need to remember that. That's an important clarifying statement. Now, the last part of that statement kind of says this. We can only comprehend those parts of him that he chooses to reveal to us. And it's true. If you think about what his word says, he does reveal himself to us, doesn't he? Now think about this. This vast God, why does he do that? He doesn't have to. As we get into this message this morning, I want to describe some things to you that are simply overwhelming, indescribable to me. He didn't have to reveal himself to us, but we read things like this, where Paul wrote in Romans 1:20, he said this, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." That mystery of God, those invisible attributes we could never see are being revealed to us by him. You see what Paul's saying there? For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood how? By the things that he has made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know what he's telling us? That God is revealing himself all around us, even in the things that he's created and made. I mean, Nancy and I, first grandchild, right? Want to see a picture? No. I'm kidding. I get one almost every day, so. But look into the eyes of a newborn and tell me you can't see the mystery of God. Stand on top of Pikes Peak in Colorado Springs and tell me you can't see the mystery of God somewhere in that. This morning, folks coming to church saw a rainbow. Tell me that in looking at a rainbow, you can't see the mystery of God. Wow. That called all of that into existence. He reveals himself all around us if we have our eyes open. He also reveals himself to us, and I think this is so important, in his word, doesn't he? Aren't you so thankful that he's given us this book where he reveals himself to us? That's why I say to you, you couldn't know him if he didn't choose to reveal himself to you. And he has, in a beautiful way, right here. He's revealed himself to us, right? I mean, I think of how Moses stood before the burning bush and God spoke to him from the burning bush because he chose to reveal himself there. Wow. He also reveals himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who we can know personally, intimately, through personal relationships. See, God loves you so much, this incomprehensible God that spoke everything into existence out of nothing, that he left all of that, stooped to us because he loves you that much. Because he loves you, that God became a man so he could relate to us, bring us into relationship with him, and gave his life on a cross. That is indescribable. No other word fits. Indescribable. So, okay, that's just the third one. You ready? Here's number four. I said this a little bit ago, but I think it's really true, and kind of stay with me on this one. It's just something I've come to understand, and I believe this. You may hear this statement and go, I'm not sure I agree with that, but just kind of stay with me on this one. I truly believe that the closer you get to God and the more you pour into Him, you will find more questions you have and the less you really know Him and about Him, and yet the more you will long to know Him. You see what I'm saying? Like, the closer you get to Him in relationship, the closer you draw to Him, the more time you spend in His Word. Listen, God's Word is like this endless, vast thing, and you start reading it and you go, gosh, I've never seen that before. I've read this 100 times. Why have I never seen that before? And every single time, it's like God's revealing more and more of Himself to us. And every time He reveals more and more of Himself to us, my mind goes, question, question, how, why, where'd that come from? And every time we get closer to God, the more time you spend in His Word, the more time you spend in prayer, the more time you spend drawing near to Him, the more of a mystery He will become to you. The more questions you will have of Him. And you go, well, I don't know if that's true or not. Well, I just challenge you then to get to know Him. And you will find that He is way beyond your ability to comprehend who He is. He really is. That's how He is. Paul said this, and I love this, in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Don't try to turn there, but just look at the scripture on the screen and think about what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling us about this God. Look what he says, and I love this verse. And once again, Romans 11, verses 33 through 36, it says this, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Do you get what Paul's saying? Wow. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? I mean, some of us think we've got God figured out. What did He just say? You don't have Him figured out. Who's become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You know what Paul's saying? The closer you get, the less you know. The more you think you got figured out, the more you discover I ain't got nothing figured out. I mean, that's how God is. He's so vast. And here's the fifth little clarifying statement. Not even to the points of the sermon yet, right, guys? Just the fifth of these clarifying statements. And I'm going to tell you these five things will preach, right? So here's the fifth one. To say that God is indescribable is to acknowledge that He is wholly separate from us. Wholly other. Beyond us, above us, over us, sovereign. Can I say it like this and simplify that statement? It is to really understand what worshiping Him means. Worshiping Him. You see, worshiping God is not about whether you have a piano and an organ in a service or whether you have drums and guitars. It's not about that. It's not about whether you're singing choruses or whether you're singing hymns. It's not about traditional, contemporary, progressive, blended. If that's what you think worship is, you've missed it. Worship is about recognizing this indescribable God and worshiping Him for who He is, that you can't even get your head around. He is worthy of all worship. One of my favorites, Louis Giglio. You guys know, we love Louis Giglio around here. We've been to his passion conferences and some of those kind of things. A number of years ago, he wrote a book called, of all things, Indescribable. Indescribable. Matter of fact, he produced a video series with him preaching, and the video series I've shown on Wednesday nights, and it's called Indescribable. And it is awe-inspiring, I will tell you. And Louis Giglio says this in his little book, Indescribable. I love this statement. He said, if God is indescribable, where does that leave us? And I love what he says here. It leaves us walking more humbly than we've ever walked before. Bowed at the thought of such a mighty, mysterious God. It leaves us safe, safe in the knowledge of His ultimate control. that the one who spoke these awe-inspiring, inconceivable wonders into being will never lose the plot or drop the ball. And it leaves us pondering how much he, this creative God of hidden wonders, has in store for those who've chosen to love and follow him. Amen. Close the book, right? I mean, that's awesome. You read a statement like that and you go, wow. Can I just tell you why I'm preaching this message? Buddy thinks, Buddy needs to be reminded of that often. Buddy thinks, church needs to be reminded of that often. Of how big this God is. See, I think sometimes we make our God way, 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 way too small. We forget how big it is. We get so overwhelmed by the things happening in our world and in our lives, by our things that we struggle with and things that we want and things that we're praying about. And we forget that's the kind of God we serve. A God who nothing is too hard for. A God who nothing is too big for. A God who never hears the word can't or don't. Right? But a God who can. A God who is able. And I just got to tell you, First Baptist Buda, visitors here today, our God's a big God. He is indescribable. And we need to pray like it and worship like it and live like it in a world that's hurting. We need to live like it. I think it's important. So we're going to look at this. You ready? You got it? Paul's going to try. And I've read three passages now this morning, if you've already noticed, a couple of them from Romans, from Paul, trying to describe to us this indescribable God, this awesome mystery that we have in God. We've read three passages of it. And now, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, just now getting to the text, I want you to listen to what he says. Because what he says here is mind-boggling, mind-blowing to me. And I'll tell you why I think that here in just a minute. But look at it with me if you would, if you have your Bible. Yeah, we're just now getting to the text, and I got about 20 minutes left. So hang on. God is indescribable, right? We can do this. You ready? Here we go. Verse 14, chapter 3 of Ephesians, Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And you go, well, what's he just been talking about, "for this reason"? Well, he's been describing them how big his God is. Because God is indescribable, you can kind of just write it over that. Because God is indescribable, "for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory." How rich are the riches of his glory? Beyond comprehension, okay? "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, all the believers, what is the width and the depth and the length and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge." You know what he's saying there? It's incomprehensible. It's indescribable. You got it? "Which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of this all-powerful God I've just been describing to you." And then look at verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen." What a powerful passage of Scripture. Now, I'm just going to tell you that the writers of Scripture and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit do the best that they can to reveal to us how awesome our God is. But language fails. God is too vast. He's too big. Language is tough. It's hard for us to get our head around. And Paul does a great job here of trying to describe to us how awesome, how big, how magnificent our God is. And I just want to give you kind of a couple of things here that I don't want you to miss. And so I'm going to just give this to you. We may only get to one point, but it's worth it. Okay? So just jot this down. So here's the first thing that I want you to see. I want you to see that in that passage of Scripture, Paul is making this declaration of God's amazing power. Of God's amazing power. There's been a saying in my ministry ever since God called me. Because Buddy was a good, but God I can't person. when God first started to deal with me when I was young, when He first called me to preach. God, but I can't. I am not able. I can't stand in a pulpit and preach. I can't. And that's been Buddy. Most of his life is me saying to God, I can't. And then God started speaking in my voice, but I can. But I can. You see, listen to me. It does not matter what you can't do. Church, it does not matter what we as a church think we can't do. What matters is what God can do. Right? That's what matters. So God put this little thing in my mind a long time ago. This kind of became, I would say this kind of became my little simple little catchphrase for ministry. And it's simply this: God is able. That's it. God is able. You just probe that in Scripture sometimes. How many times you will hear that phrase, whether it's in a fiery furnace where they have pronounced to a king, you may not be able to save us, but our God is able. Or to spies who go into a land and they have to hear Moses saying, God is able. Or the Apostle Paul constantly throughout the book of Romans and Corinthians and his writings reminding believers, God is able. God is able. I don't care what you're going through. And I know some of you are going through some heavy stuff. I mean, we got a man sitting back there with an artificial heart pumping inside of him. John Wego, man is not able, but God is able. God is able. We got people in this church struggling with some big issues in their life. God is able. The God I just described is that big. He is able. So I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this declaration of God's amazing power. Look at verse 20 again and just kind of see what he says there. I think this is so powerful. It says this, and I love what he says there. So powerful. He says, now to him who is able. You see that? Now to him who is able. Able to do what? Well, look what he says. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to his power in us. Now, I said a minute ago that words fail us. So in the Greek language, there's a couple of words there, exceedingly abundantly. And they're called hyper words in the Greek. For example, the word exceedingly, hyperpanta. It means hyper exceeding what you can think. Beyond what you can think. Beyond what you can imagine. So when you think God can't, listen, God's going, I can do beyond what you can even think up that I can't do. Wow. Hyperpanta, right? Not hyperpanda, like, you know, chop suey kind of thing, right? Not that kind of hyper. Hyperpanta, right? Exceeding, beyond even what you can imagine or think. When you go, but God, I can't. God, that's too big for us. God, there's no way this is going to work out. This just seems impossible. It seems impossible that this can work out in my life. Whatever the issue is for you, don't ever say to God, God, you can't do this. Because God goes, hyperpanta, right? Beyond what you can think. And then the other one is the word abundantly. You know that Jesus used that word abundantly. When he said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it, how? Abundantly. It's one of those hyper words, okay? Hyper ek peruso. Hyper ek peruso. It means abundantly, and we think of abundantly as having a cap, right? We think of abundantly being, well, more than this, right? That's what we think. Like if I have something that's, we go, my cup overflows, God goes, oh, I can make it overflow, 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 and never stop overflowing. Hyper, hyper abundantly. God can do, look at the verse, God can do, is able to do hyper, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Can I ask you something? What's the biggest need of your life right now? Write it down. Write it down. What's the biggest hurt, the biggest, just write it on your bulletin somewhere. What's the biggest hurt, the biggest need of your life? Listen, your faith ought to be big enough in that kind of a God to know he can take care of that. And you go, oh, you don't know what I just wrote down. I know what some of you wrote down. I've been around here long enough and I've spent time with you. I know what some of you wrote down. And you've been thinking for a long time now. It can't happen. It will never happen. It will never happen for me. And I'm telling you, we serve a hyper God who can do above and beyond what you can even comprehend. And if you comprehended it and wrote it on that page, well, he just told you, I'm bigger than that. I can do above, beyond all that you ever think, imagine. I can do that. And God never goes back on one single promise that he's ever made in Scripture. All of his promises, Paul says, are yes. Yes. He'll never fail in that. And so listen, here's what I'm telling you. Listen, guys, we worship an indescribable God, and our faith ought to reflect it. We ought to look at things in our world today, and when we begin to wring our hands and think everything's bouncing out of control and there's chaos and there's no hope, we need to be reminded we serve an indescribable God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think or hope. He can do that. Now, let me give you the second point here. You ready? Think about this one. I know, Sarah, I'm skipping a whole bunch, but we got to get this in. This is so good. First kind of thing that I said is that he's giving us this description of God's amazing power. And then second, he's giving us a description of God's abounding power. Abounding how? Well, look at verse 20 again and notice this. Now to him who is able to do hyper, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? Where? In you. Wow. Are you telling me that a God who is indescribable, that spoke everything into existence by mere spoken word, a God who parted the Red Sea that the people walked through on dry ground, a God that can turn water into wine and can calm a storm, are you telling me that that same God and his power is at work in me? That's what Paul just said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Folks, I'm telling you, we make our God way too small. That God that can do anything is a God that you and I ought to be appropriating our faith in. We ought to recognize how awesome he is. That same power of that powerful God abounds towards who? Us. Us. So let me just tell you this. You go, well, buddy, you're being really, really naive and idealistic here. I'm just telling you that as a church, we don't get to get discouraged about what God is or isn't doing. Because whatever's discouraging us as a church, God can take care of that. His power abounds to us in that. What is it? What we need to do is get on his page and go, God, you're bigger than this. We trust you. Your timing is perfect. We're going to lean into you and we're going to trust you. We're going to follow you. That's it. And whatever you're dealing with in your personal life, you recognize, listen, this is a big deal. This is a big issue for me. I've always thought this would never happen for me. And now I'm saying to you, God is bigger than that thing you wrote on that page. And so what must be our response to that? God, I trust you. Your timing is perfect. All I'm doing is waiting for you to deliver. You're going to do it. And in the meantime, I'm going to keep worshiping you as the awesome God that you are and serving you and living for you. Okay, guys, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there. Because here's what I want to say to you. Why wouldn't you want relationship with that kind of God? Why wouldn't you want him in your life? This is a God that called everything into existence. This is a God that is indescribable, that you could not know if he didn't reveal himself to you. And he's chosen to reveal himself to you. Why? Because he loves you that much and he wants to be in relationship with you. And you can be in relationship with him through the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Have you invited him in? Is he Lord and Savior of your life? Have you trusted your life to him in place and sin? I'm going to tell you, you don't do that so that you can get that power we talked about. That's not why. You do it because you are so awe-inspired and overwhelmed by the mystery of this God that chose to reveal himself to you and become one of us that you can't help but fall at his feet and worship him. Our supreme act of worship is what? To give our lives to him. So when we say God is indescribable, you know what? He really is. I'll tell you this morning, when I began to try to just preach this sermon and get my head around some of this stuff, it blew my mind. It's like, this stuff's way too big for Buddy. It's like, man, it just went, wow. God, what are we doing? Are we playing at church? Are we really worshiping you like the God that you are? Do we really understand who you are? Because I'm telling you guys, if we grasp this stuff, we can't help but tell other people about it. We can't help. God's that big. Will you let him be that big in your life? Would you bow with me forward a prayer?